est mort. Amen. Yeah. He sure did. That's right. My mother-in-law. It's the only lady I know who's been married three times, four times, and never divorced. She's married three husbands, a daughter, a son, and a grandson. Walk in those shoes. And still maintains that testimony. Hallelujah. Let me say it again. That's my mother-in-law. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. You say, how does somebody like that maintain? How do they cope? How do they get by? What they were singing about is a reality to her. Brother Freddie always says this in the funerals when we do one together. He always talks about the families and how they use the term the loss of a loved one. You can go ahead and turn to John chapter 14 this morning. I got it so much on my mind, we might as well talk about it. Brother Freddie always mentions that term when people say we lost our mother or we lost our dad or brother or sister. But Brother Freddie says when they're saved, we hadn't lost them, we know where they are. When you lose something, it's misplaced, it's gone, and you'll never see it again. But when you know where something's at, hallelujah. Amen. That's what keeps her shouting. That's what keeps her rejoicing. She knows where that first husband's at. She knows where that second husband's at. I may never get to the message. I was there when that second husband breathed his last. He was dying with cancer and in more pain than any individual Brother Freddie had ever seen in my life. And you'll probably think this is crazy or spooky, but I promise you, we were there. Amen. Seen it, not a story I read in a book, not an illustration, didn't get it from another preacher. I was there. Amen. I forgot how many milligrams of pure morphine we were injecting into him every hour just to keep him comfortable. 2 days before he died, he didn't want no more medicine. He was pain-free. And he started talking to people who were not in the room. Are y'all listening to me? I'm not talking about talking out of his head, clear as a bell. Talking to his wife that had died of cancer. Talking to his mother and daddy. I was carrying on a conversation with him. This man was looking into the portals of glory. Seeing people who have already gone before. God is my witness. I leaned over in his ear. I can't sing a lick, but he kept making me sing. He'd say, he called me Eddie Boy. Eddie Boy, sing a little bit of that Beulah Land. And I'd sing a little Beulah Land. And we just had revival for 48 hours. But I leaned over in his ear, and he was talking about all the people he could see. And he was carrying on conversations with them. And I leaned over in his ear, and I said, Junior, can you see Jesus? He said, not yet. He said, they said it'd be 2 days. 48 hours to the minute. He went home to be with God. Yeah, heaven's real. John chapter number 14 this morning. Y'all glad you saved? Say amen. Somebody ought to just get happy this morning. Amen. I'm about to have a fit. John chapter 14, the Lord said, let not your heart be troubled. You say, I've heard this scripture 1,000 times. Don't it just get gooder? And gooder and gooder and gooder. It don't get, it's kind of like Old Yeller. It's just better every time I watch it. Amen? Something about this story right here, and it ain't a story. This is factual and real. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Why? You believe in God, he said. Believe also in me. He said in verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. Now, let's just stop right there, and I don't want to make anybody mad, but if you got the wrong Bible this morning, you get a room. Some of you are looking at that Bible and going, you're right. No, I got a mansion in my King James Bible. You got the Motel 6 in yours. Can I get a witness? Somebody help me. Say hallelujah right there. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He said, and whether I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas saith unto him, always a question with Thomas. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, excuse me, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I don't know what heaven looks like, but I've read about it. I don't know what heaven looks like, or I can't explain it to you. I can tell you what little the Bible has to say about it, but I do know this, it's there. Yeah. Amen? Let me just say it again. I do know this, it is there. Amen. And why is it there? It is there for the same reason that hell is there. Because man born of woman will spend eternity somewhere. We need to come to the realization that when we die, that grave is not the end. Simple, basic, elementary stuff for those of you that have been saved any time, but we need to preach this stuff over and over and over. Why? Because people are still dying and going one way or the other. Amen. I saw a church sign a while back, and I'm trying to remember exactly what it said. I probably won't get it exactly right, but I know the gist of it. It said something about your future, smoking or non-smoking. Think about it. You'll get it in a minute. Amen. Have you made your reservations? Are you staying in the smoking section or the non-smoking section? Amen. There is a real heaven, and there is a real hell. And the fact of the business is we are all dying as we sit here. The Bible said it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Watch, everybody do this with me. It's simple, but look, do it. Do it. You ready? Get you one. Now blow it out. That's one less you've got. Every breath you draw, you are one breath closer to the grave. Every time you suck in and blow out, every time your belly goes up and goes back down, you are one step closer to Jones Wynn's funeral home, James Benson's in Dallas, Jay Collins. You're fixing to give somebody some business. We're dying. Let me say it again. I said, we are dying. Because of the curse of sin, whereby one man's sin entered into the world, because of that sin, we have the curse. We have the curse on this earth. Man was born perfect, put in a perfect place. Don't listen. Don't listen to the educational systems of this world. They'll lie to you. They'll lie to you flat-footed, look you straight in the face, and claim they got a degree that proves they know more than you do. They'll tell you that man started off dragging his wife by the hair and toting the club. And has continually got better and better and better and better and better. That's a lie. Man started out perfect in the Garden of Eden. Sinless and would have lived forever. Would have never aged. Would have never got a sinus infection. Hallelujah. Would have never suffered a headache. But sin came. And since then, man has got progressively worse and worse and worse and worse. Technology does not make us better. That just sounded good. I'm going to say it again. I said technology does not make us better. Amen. But we need to realize that we are humans and we live in a body of flesh and it is dying. And when that last breath is gone, there is a something else on the inside of you that makes you you, and that's your soul. Yeah, and it's going to live forever somewhere. Yes. You see, God created you to be an eternal being. Yes, right. You were supposed to live forever. Amen. Boy, y'all ain't getting this, are you? Amen. Let me say it again. We were supposed to live forever. Yes. But because of the curse of sin, there's a part of us that is dying, and that's this flesh. That there's a part of us that's going to live on beyond the blue somewhere. Amen. And I'm glad to know tonight that I've made my reservation, or this morning, I know exactly where I'm going. I'm not sure about a whole lot of things, but this one thing I know, if I breathe my last breath, if my heart ticks its last beat this morning, my next breath will be in glory. I'm sure of that. I said I'm sure of that. Somebody said, well, I don't believe you can really know. Well, you don't believe the Bible. John said, these things have I written, I may never get to the message. These things have I written that you may know that you have eternal life. Amen. Amen. Somebody said, well, how do you know you can really know you're saved? Because I know. Amen. How about that? Amen. Come on. That's it. How many of you know? Amen. No doubt about it. Amen. How about that? We got you outnumbered. Amen. You can know. Some churches teach you that if you get saved and don't do exactly right, you've got to get saved again. Let me ask you a simple question. What is it that you have to do to get unsaved? I've never had anybody answer me on that one, Brother Charles. Where is the line? Would it be a bad thought? Some of you have had some sitting in the pew right here this morning. You better get saved again. Amen. You ever had a bad word go through your head when you got cut off on 285? Are y'all listening? I'm telling you, if you're in, you're in. If you're out, you're out, and you can get in. Let me say it again. If you're saved, you're saved. Amen. Amen. You may need to get right with God. You may need to repent of some things, but if you are a child of God, you are a child of God. Somebody help me right there. I know this is simple. You say, preacher, teach me something I don't know. Oh, dear God, if somebody could just get a hold of eternal security, it'd change your life forever, man. You wouldn't have to worry when you lay your head down on your pillow at night. You wouldn't have to worry every time you get mad. Well, have I got to get saved for this? Have I got to get saved again for that? Come on. Amen. I worked construction when I got saved. And I was continually skinning my knuckles, hitting myself with hammers. I hit myself right between the eyes with a claw hammer one day. I just drew it back. Whop. I was like, what'd you do that for? And I'm not going to tell you what I said when the hammer struck my head. It ain't in the Bible. Amen. I'm glad I didn't have to run somewhere, Robert, and say, Lord, save me again. Yeah. Amen. I'm eternally secure in the Lord. I'm going to heaven when I die. Can we talk about heaven just for a minute? Amen. If nothing else, maybe I can excite you that you're going. Yeah. Yeah. I know when I first got saved, Brother Freddie, I was just excited I wasn't going to hell. Right. I really was, man. Heaven was an afterthought. Amen, brother. I mean, brother, I could feel the flames nearly about. I just knew I was going to die and bust hell wide open. I got in church and the preacher started talking about heaven. I thought, oh, I'm going. Yeah. Amen. I was just glad I wasn't going to hell, but I can assure you I'm going to heaven when I die. Amen. So we ought to get excited about the trip. Amen. Some of you say you are, but I wonder. Amen. Let's talk about heaven just for a minute this morning. Let's talk about the fact of heaven. Not the fairy tale of heaven, but the fact of heaven. There is a real heaven. Listen, if you even casually believe the Bible or even casually know the Bible, how many of you know, you can quote the very first verse of the Bible? Come on. Surely we can do better than that. But can I help you? In the beginning, God created. I like that word, created. Yeah. Nothing evolved, friend. You wasn't a tadpole swimming in a mud hole. Grew a little tail and some legs, crawled out of the slime, up a tree. Are y'all listening? Started eating bananas. Lightning struck, burnt your hair off, fell out of the tree and knocked your tail off, and wham, there's a man. Stupidest thing I ever heard in my life. If evolution's true, why don't we see it in progress? Somewhere, somehow, somewhere, they ought to be something walking around freaky. Amen. I'm somewhere. I mean, you ought to be at the mall somewhere and say, is that half a monkey? If evolution was then, it's still happening. What are you turning into now? What are you going to be next? Come on. That's just common sense, isn't it? I'm really not stupid. In the beginning, God, say it with me, created. What did he create? The heaven and the earth. Very first verse in the Bible. If you turn your Bible to Revelation chapter number 22, you know what you find in the very end of the book? A description of heaven. It starts with heaven. It ends with heaven. There is a fact of a place called heaven. Friend, it is there. Just as sure as Jesus died at Calvary, heaven is real. Just as sure as they placed him in Joseph's new tomb, there is a place called heaven. And just as sure as 3 days later, he got up and walked out of that thing, and 40 days later, he ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of the Father, just as sure as that's true, it's true that there is a place called heaven. It's a fact. It's a fact. John chapter number 14 said it's a prepared place. When you make something, you make it with a specific purpose in mind. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. I'm liking that. You've quoted that verse, probably some of you, all your life. But he said, I go to prepare a place for y'all. Is that what he said? Come on. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Woo! What if your place remains vacant? He said he wasn't willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. He's wanting you to get saved. He's preparing a place for you before you was ever even born. Think about it. Before you was ever even a thought in your mom and daddy's mind, God was thinking about you in heaven and making room for you there. Somebody said, how big is heaven? I believe it's big enough for everybody ever has been born, ever will be born. Everybody who's living right now, I believe it's big enough for everybody. Why? Because I serve a whosoever will God. He said, whosoever will, let him come, take of the water of life freely. Hey, I believe whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Amen. There is a fact of heaven. It is a prepared place. God has prepared a place for us. Amen. I don't know if it's theologically correct or not, but I've always heard it all my life and it sounds good. I kind of doubt it's true. They said God created the heavens and earth. He'd done all that in 6 days. They said he's been working on heaven 2,000 years. What do you think it looks like? Amen. I don't think he's been working on it 2,000 years. I think he created it just like he created this. Let there be. Amen. But it is a prepared place. Listen, not only that, It's a perfect place. It's a perfect place. Do you know what makes heaven perfect this morning? Man had nothing to do with it. Let me say it again. The government had nothing to do with it. He didn't have to go down to City Hall and draw a permit. He didn't have to call in for an inspection and say, is this okay with y'all? No, he wouldn't. Hey, he ain't answering to nobody. He ain't answering to a higher power. He said, man, I got this. Look what you've done with what I created last time. I'll handle this on my own. Amen. The Bible said it's a city whose builder and maker is God. A city not made with hands. Hallelujah. It's a prepared place, but it's a perfect place. Heaven is flawless. Amen. I remember several years ago when my wife and I, we went with Brother Barry and Miss Allison, Alice Ferguson, we went to Hawaii. We went to Honolulu. If you ever get the opportunity, I'd say go for it. Especially if somebody calls you up and says, hey, we want to take you on vacation. We're paying for everything. If you get that phone call, go. By all means, jump on the boat. Jump on the plane. Amen. But I remember I've told this a thousand times, but we anticipated that trip so much that we thought we had overthought it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? We felt like maybe we had built it up so much in our mind that we would be disappointed when we saw it. Anybody ever done that? We've looked at so many pictures on the internet. We've read so many articles. Just found out everything we could about Hawaii. And on the plane, we thought, what if it ain't all that? And we stepped off the plane. Brother Atkins, we in the airport. I ain't talking about a resort. I ain't talking about the beach. I'm talking about the airport. And we off the plane going, wow. We could have stayed right there. Just throw us up a cot right here on the runway. We'll be good. Amen. I mean, it was just like a paradise. I don't think you're going to be able to overestimate heaven. Amen. I don't think how much you think about it, what you imagine it to be. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. Why? It is a perfect place. I remember standing on the beach at Waikiki and looking at all the ocean and the waves and the whatever you call the plants, the greenery, the flowers. Man, there were flowers everywhere. And I remember standing there thinking, if this is all this, what's heaven going to be? If this is cursed, if this is cursed, I looked around for a curse. I thought, man, I don't see nothing cursed. And I thought, yeah, I do. All I needed was a mirror. Amen. Y'all okay? But I thought, if this place is this beautiful and this place seems to be, there ain't even no snakes there. There ain't a snake. There ain't a snake one in Honolulu. Got to have something to do with heaven. Amen. But seriously, I thought, if this place is this wonderful, what's heaven going to be like? And all I could come up with is perfect. Absolutely perfect. Do you know that outside of this, your eyes have never seen anything perfect? This is the only thing on the face of this planet you will ever lay your eyes on that is truly perfect. Somebody said, oh, we're looking for the perfect church. Don't join it. You'll mess up a good thing. What do you say? I'm saying it don't exist. Perfect people don't exist. Perfect places don't exist. It's all under a curse. But heaven's way above that. Amen. It's a prepared place. I'm talking about the fact of heaven. It's a prepared place. It's a perfect place. It's a permanent place. Let me say that again. It is a permanent place. Nothing there will wear out. Amen. Our houses need maintenance. My roof needs work. My carpet needs work. Walls need painting. Are y'all listening? Grass needs mowing. It's always something, 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 something. Just because you build it brand new, give her a few years, she'll fall apart on you. Amen. Amen. I thought I was perfect. Y'all could say amen if you want to. I thought I was perfect. Man, 45 came along. I realize, but I'm way, way, way off. Amen? No, I never really thought I'm perfect. But listen, nothing on this earth is permanent. The home you live in is not permanent. I figure at best, we may have 80, 90 years. Some people live beyond that, some people less. I believe the Bible gives a good average, 70. I believe that. Amen? I believe that. I don't make light when people die. I don't make light. But I remember getting a phone call one day, and it was somebody not in our church, but somebody else that I knew, and their grandmother had passed away. Please pray for my family. Everybody's tore all to pieces. Grandmother died. I said, how old was she? 98. I said, I understand the remorse and the loss. But hallelujah, it was time. Amen. Amen. I get 98 years old. I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm going to be wondering, okay, Lord. Don't you think it's about time? I'm living on borrowed days here. I'm ready to go. Amen. Hallelujah for the saint of God that gets to go home to a perfect and a permanent place. I don't know how long you'll live at the address where you are now, but it is not permanent. Amen. It's going to burn in a fervent heat when God destroys this old earth, son. But I'm telling you, heaven is permanent. We can't even fathom forever. Our minds work on what? Time. 365 days a year, is that right? 7 days in a week, 30, 31 days in a month, 24 hours in a day. I mean, that's the way our mind thinks on time. In my back pocket, I have a calendar, and I live my life by that calendar. Somebody says, where are you going next? I don't know. Let me get my calendar. Amen. Y'all okay? We base our lives according to time, but in heaven, there will be no time. Won't be no time. We measure our time by the sunrise and the sunset. Ain't going to be no sunset in heaven. It's going to be sunrise forever. Y'all say that word with me, forever. Now, we can't even wrap our brains around it. Amen. I mean, we're riding down the road last night, and Stacy talked about pushing 50. I wish you wouldn't say that stuff. He said something about an old man pushing 50. I don't like to look at it that way. I'm pushing 47. You let me wait a few more years, I'll push 50, but not right now. Yeah. Amen. I'm satisfied with pushing 47 for a couple more months. Yeah. Y'all all right? When you're a kid, you think you're going to live forever. When you're a kid, time drags. I mean, just, my birthday ain't never going to come. You ask a kid how old they are, they'll say, I'm 15 and a half. You ever heard a kid do that? I'm 15 3/4. They're trying to tell you they're closer to 16 than they was a few days ago. Amen? They're anticipating. But when you get our age, you start wanting to say, I don't even want to talk about how old I am. Amen? And time starts flying. I mean, it starts flying. And all of a sudden, it dawns on you. You're not permanent. You're not permanent. But I'm glad this morning heaven is. Heaven is. Heaven is a prepared place. It's a perfect place. It's a permanent place. And we're going to dwell there forever. I got to hurry. I know we talked just a minute about the fact of heaven. I want to talk about the fellowship of heaven. I believe when we get there, truly in all honesty, our main focus is going to be Him. I really do. I believe, you know, we talk about, I remember an old bluegrass song said, just build me a cabin in the corner of heaven. Not me, Jack. I can get a cabin in Gatlinburg. Somebody help me. Somebody said, heaven's going to be whatever. If you want to go fishing, just whatever you want to do. No, heaven's going to be Jesus. Let me just say it again. Heaven's going to be, He's going to be the centerpiece of glory. He's going to be what makes it all. The fellowship with heaven, the fellowship with Him now is sweet, but then one day it's going to be personal. My friend from Panama City brought his motor home and he's been up here he's one of them NASCAR nuts. He's been up there at the race staying all week, and we talk on the phone all the time. And as soon as we pulled up, Stacy and him will tell you, he just jumped out of his truck and just hugged me. And he's, man, it's so good to see you. We talk all the time, but it's even better when we get to see each other. The friendship gets a little bit sweeter, and good Lord, it gets a little bit richer. Hey, it's sweet talking to the Lord now, but one of these days when it's up close and personal, eyeball to eyeball, I'm telling you, the fellowship of heaven will be wonderful. Amen. Amen. The fellowship of heaven. We're going to get to fellowship with Him. When he, I love that song, When He Takes Me By the Hand. Can you imagine? After all he's prepared for you, you've got to imagine he's excited about showing it to you. I can just imagine standing at the gates of Pearl with that far out, bewildered look in my eye. Whoa. I mean, far out. Something like that's going to come out of your mouth. Unbelievable. I guarantee you. Can you just hear the Lord? Come here. Come in here. You ain't seen nothing yet. You got to check out this tree I planted. Come here. You got to check out this river I made. You got to come look at my wall covering. He said, I was trying to think of something pretty to use, and I just covered it with jasper. You got to look at my pavement. You ain't seen nothing. You just at the gate. You in the foyer. You just in the entryway. Come on, you got to see what I paved the road with. Yeah. I say, yeah, Lord, I know it's gold. He said, yeah, but you ain't never seen gold on this fashion. I did not know this till a few years ago, but they say that gold in its purest form is crystal clear. The Bible talks about thousands of years before we knew gold in its purest form was crystal clear. The Bible said it was, the street was gold and it was clear as glass. Is that what it said? Or crystal? It said it was clear as crystal. Wow. He said, you ain't never seen no gold like it. The fellowship of heaven is going to be wonderful. I don't know for about the first 1,000 years if we'll even be able to speak. It'll suit me just to lay at his feet. Amen. But I believe what my mother-in-law said a while ago too. I believe our loved ones are going to be there. Amen. Those that are saved by grace. Amen. Brother Jason, I don't know where you went. He's backslid on me. If you get here on time, son, you get a seat. We're going to see Brother Jay. Amen. I got his picture right here in front of my Bible. Keep it with me everywhere I go. Got several pictures of him right here in my Bible. Amen. But one of these days it ain't going to be a picture.
That's right,
it's going to be a glorified body. Amen. And when he was on this earth, when we were together, what we had together was fellowship. Yeah. I enjoyed talking to him. I enjoyed sitting down there in that shop with him, listening to him tell stories about when he pastored here and he pastored there, and talk about some of the battles that he fought. And man, we just had fellowship. Can you imagine what it's going to be in a glorified body? I'm telling you, hallelujah, the fellowship will be sweet.
Amen.
Last time I talked to my dad, he said, son, I ain't feeling good. Me and my little brother John was going to take daddy out for Father's Day this year, and he loves Red Lobster, and we was going to take him to Red Lobster and buy him a whole lobster, whatever he wanted. We was going, whatever you want, Dad, just whatever you want, you get it, whatever it is. Called me the day before. He said, son, my blood pressure's so high, I ain't going to be able to make it. Boy, I thought it won't be like that when we get home.
That's right.
Hey, man, it won't be no high blood pressure when we get home. The fellowship of heaven is going to be sweet. I could go down a list, but we wouldn't get out of here till 3 o'clock this afternoon of who all I know that's there already. Brother Charles, we're going to get to sit with J.M. again. I used to love just sit and listen to him talk. That man was just a wealth of knowledge. Every now and then he'd say something crazy and off the wall, and I'd just look at him, he'd grin. He said, you don't have to take that as gospel. That's just my idea. Amen. Hallelujah, I miss that. We're going to get to do that again. Amen. Meemaw, I know you got 3 husbands over there, and it may sound confusing here, but it'll all be worked out there. I guarantee you, amen. It ain't going to be. Now, wait a minute, which one? No, I can't explain it. I just can't explain it. I'm just going to tell you, it's going to be all right. Amen. It's going to be all right, every bit of it. Amen. The fellowship with our friends and our family, the fellowship with our Savior. Lord have mercy, I got to quit. The fact of heaven, the fellowship of heaven. Can I just give you this last one? I'm done.
Yes, sir.
There's a finality of heaven. I said there is a finality of heaven. In Revelation chapter 21, there's a bunch of no mores, Brother Freddie. I love them no more. We ought to just preach sometime on no more. He said there's going to be no more sorrow. It's final. It's over. I don't know how many years I have left on this earth. I don't know how many years you have left. But let me promise you one thing. You've got some more sorrow to go through. As long as we live in this body, Job said, man born of woman is few days and full of trouble. Jesus said, in this world ye shall have tribulation. You can mark her down. We got some more tears to shed. Amen. I hate it, but it's life. Jones Wind will see us again.
Yes, he will.
I wish Wednesday was the last one, but it wasn't. There'll be more. But he said in heaven, no more.
Amen.
No more. It sounds like a command to me, Brother Charles.
Amen.
Sorrow, you're welcome no more.
Amen.
Let me say it again. Death, you're welcome no more. I wonder if there's a sign on the gate of glory. No sorrow, no death, no crying, no suffering, no sickness allowed. Woo! Won't that be good? No more. Gonna be no more sin. Hallelujah. Won't that be a blessing? Glory to God. The finality of heaven. Once we get there, it's over, man. No more fighting. No more battles. No more troubles. No more trials. No more doctors. No more funeral directors.
Amen.
Every bit of that is going to be over. No more, he said. The fact of heaven, the fellowship of heaven, the finality of heaven. I said I was going to give you one more, but this is the one more. There's a folly of heaven. The folly of heaven would be missing it. The folly or the foolishness concerning heaven would be hearing a gospel message. Hearing that there is a fact of a place called heaven and you could go if you just trust Christ as your Savior. And you decided not to. Several years ago, when Brother Barry called me, he asked me a question. He knows I have a rule about preaching off on Sundays. I don't do that very often. He said, Brother Eddie, I need to book you. He said, but you got to give me a Sunday. I said, I don't do Sunday. You know that. He said, well, what I'm booking is 7 days, all expenses paid, in a resort on Waikiki Beach in Hawaii. He said, I wish you'd pray about it. I said, okay, we'll go. Fastest prayer I prayed in my life. It's God's will. Right? No brainer. Come on. No brainer. But we're talking about heaven this morning. Is it something you really even need to consider?
Come on now.
Amen.
On the one hand, you have heaven. No sorrow, remember, no more. No more sorrow, no more sin, no more sickness, no more death, all that stuff.
Amen.
Read it, Revelation 21, it's there. That's what you've got on this hand. Here you've got hell. Regardless of what people say in this world, the liberals, well, hell is just a place away from God. Yeah, it is. The Bible said it's a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Bible said that the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell. He had a body.
Amen.
He asked Lazarus to dip his finger in water and touch his tongue. He said, for I'm in torment in this flame.
Yes.
There's a fire.
Glorious.
He had a tongue. He had all his senses. And he was burning forever and ever and ever. Boy, what a contrast. Let's see. I don't know. Let me think about it. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck this morning, but get real. Which is it? Heaven or hell? Brother Freddie, I'm not a highly educated man, but I'll take heaven.
That's right, brother.
I'll take heaven. If I don't have to suffer the punishment of my sin forever and ever and ever, right. If I can bypass that,
yeah.
I'm in.
Right.
Just like you, I'd heard this my entire life. But it didn't get real to me till I was 19 years old. And I realized for the first time in my life that I was dying without Christ on my way to a place called hell. You've heard my testimony so much, you probably know it better than I do. But I had to make a decision about where I was going to spend eternity. Didn't really need the preacher, just wanted him. I knew what to do. I fell under that pine tree in his front yard, and I said, I'll take heaven. Literally, I said, Lord, I don't want to die and go to hell. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Ashley, y'all come and get us a song this morning. Just whatever's on your heart will be fine. Listen, the others are coming already, and while they are, could we just bow our heads this morning? Close our eyes, nobody looking around. I struggled really hard this morning. I sat in my office, not knowing which way to go. Had two different sermons on my mind and on my heart, but this just would not go away. I even prayed and said, Lord, this is so simple. And my people have heard this over and over and over again. Lord, let me give them something else. The Lord spoke to my heart and said, there's somebody going to be there today you don't even know is coming. And this is for them. I wonder if this was for you this morning. I wonder if this was your official invitation to go to heaven when you die. If you're not 100% sure where you'll spend eternity, I'd like to pray for you. I won't embarrass you for nothing. I'm not going to drag you to the altar. But if you're not sure you're saved, you're not sure heaven is going to be your home, I'd just like to pray for you. If you just slip up your hand, you just slip it up and put it right back down. Say, preacher, if you can really know that you're going to heaven when you die, I'd like to get that settled in my heart. Just slip up your hand. How about this morning? Preacher, I know I'm going to heaven when I die, but I sure hadn't thought about it much lately. Pray that I'd get more serious about it. Pray I'd get more excited about it. The fact that I'm going to heaven when I die. How about that? I got my hand up. Hallelujah. You pray with us. Father, as we come before you again this morning, Lord, we thank you for a good day. Lord, you said this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, every day that we're saved is a good day. Lord, we give you glory for it. Father, you, no doubt in my mind, put this message in my heart. I know, just as sure as I stand here, that this was your will for this hour. Now, Lord, what's done with it is up to the ears that it fell on. God, I pray you'd have your way in this invitation this morning. Lord, maybe heaven would just get real to somebody here today. Maybe somebody who's just a little cold and indifferent might get excited again that heaven's waiting on the other side. Lord, then there could be somebody that's not even going. Lord, maybe this could be the day they'd come to know you as their Savior. Miss out on hell for eternity. Lord, what a day that'd be in the heart of some man, woman, boy, or girl. Just have your way in this invitation. Lord, we'll thank you. Father, we'll give you glory for all you do. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.